Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
I'm excited because the last couple of weeks we kicked off this new series entitled David. Hunter kicked us off 2 weeks ago talking about when David was anointed king. Pastor Mike was in here last Sunday and he talked about David and Goliath and gave you the account of that whole story and kind of changed the seating from what I understand, right? And some of you came in and you couldn't find your chair. Oh no. Anyway, we love mixing it up on you a little bit there, but today I want to continue in this summer series. We're going to follow the life of David all the way through the summer, and one of the reasons why we're doing this is because David, as you saw from the video, is an interesting guy. He was a great man. He was a man after God's own heart, but yet he was flawed. He was messed up. He made lots of mistakes too, and that gives us hope, I think, sometimes when we look at somebody like that in Scripture to know that even in the midst of all that, God still loved him. God still cared for him and walked with him. And so today, I want to take you to a passage that we're looking at. It's a different story, and it's going to kind of be interesting for us today, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. But if you would head over to 1 Samuel, go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to be covering the first 9 verses, 1 Samuel chapter 18. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Those guys coming up and down the aisles, they'll just hand you one. It's our gift to you. Put your name in it. Head over to 1 Samuel chapter 18 with us. Now, what's interesting about David is his story is told in the Old Testament. And other than Jesus, get this, other than Jesus, we have more detail, more accounts of his life than anybody else in Scripture. Like, we know David better than anybody else other than Jesus from Scripture. And it's interesting, we're given almost his entire life is accounted for in Scripture. And so you can take a very, very close look at this man named David and learn a lot about him. 1 Samuel chapter 18 is a story about a friendship that kicks up between him and a guy by the name of Jonathan. And if you are part of our reading plan, we have a Go reading plan every day. You get a text and it tells you what to read. We've been working our way through 1 Samuel here recently because we wanted it to kind of coincide with this series. If you're a part of that, you'll recognize this passage because you just read it this week. Now, if you're not a part of that, all you need to do is text READ to 68398. That's it. It's in your bulletin. You can check it out if you need help with that, or if you don't remember it, don't worry about it. You can stop by the information booth. They'll hook you up, okay? But I want you to get on that reading plan with us because there's a whole group of you that are reading through the life of David even before we ever talk about it on Sunday. And my prayer and hope is when you come in here and you hear it again, you're like, oh yeah, I read that, and it's more familiar to you and you're getting more out of it. And so please consider doing that if you would. Today, I want to look at a friendship. It's a friendship between David and Jonathan, and it's an amazing account of a friendship in Scripture. And so we're going to take a close look at friendship, especially, listen to me, as it relates to those of us within the body of Christ. Let me ask you this. How many friends do you have? Would you know right off the top of your head? Would you know how to define what a friend is? How would you determine how many friends you have? Would you go to your Facebook page and like pull it up and figure out how many friends you have? I hope not, because I know if you're like me, you went and you looked at them and you looked at the list of friends you have and you're like, I don't even know that person. Like that, where did I get that friend from? You know, and you don't even interact with most of them. So I hope you're not using that to determine your worth, all right? But how many friends would you say you have? And would you know how to define them? See, I think it's something interesting within the church when we start talking about friendship, because friendship within the body of Christ is different than anywhere else, and I hope to show that to you today, because it's very, very important for us to grasp this, because it's Mountain View Fellowship, and here at Mountain View Fellowship, friendship, relationship is key, and let me tell you why. We have a mandate, which is really our mission here. It's pointing people to Jesus by fostering what? relationships. Have you heard that before? Anyone? I hope so. I hope you're like, oh yeah, I just kind of recited it from memory because you've heard it so many times, pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. And it's this idea that we believe that God is calling us to foster relationships. See, Jesus put a high emphasis on people and relationships, and therefore we do too. And in this moment of, hey, who are we going to be and what is God calling us to be, we found out that God was pointing us in this direction of pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships, and he wanted us to do it in three different directions. The first one you see is the up. That's with God himself. We need to be fostering relationship with God daily. Another one, fostering in relationships. That's with other believers, other people within the body of Christ, and we need to do that at least once weekly. And then, of course, out with somebody who doesn't know Christ. We're not supposed to live in a bubble. We're supposed to be, you know, in the world but not of the world and all these other things that you hear all the time in churches. But here's the deal. We want you fostering relationships with people that don't know Christ. Why? Because we're pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. Now, today, we're going to focus on the second one. We don't do this very often, but because of the content that we see in 1 Samuel, I think it's important for us to say, okay, today we're going to focus on relationships among believers, relationships with each other. Now, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you're just kind of checking things out, you're here on a perfect week. Don't think I'm not including you, because I am. I want you to hear this because I want you to understand that there's a lot more here than what it looks like on the outside. See, Jesus came and he gave us salvation. He died for our sins and he rescued us. But there's also something else that comes in that. When we receive Jesus Christ, we're filled with his Holy Spirit and we have the opportunity to form relationships with other believers, get this, that go much deeper than they would without him. And so I hope to show that to you today. So let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. And in this passage, we're going to see three characters come up. David is one. He's the main character for this entire series. The second one is Saul. Saul is the king at the time. He's the sitting king. He's the one on the throne. And then Saul has a son by the name of Jonathan, and you'll see all three of them mentioned in this passage. It says this: after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. Now, the reason for that is because it says in Scripture, Saul was being tormented by a spirit. We don't know exactly what that is, but he was not in a good place. And his men said, hey, we've got this guy by the name of David. He's a young man. He plays the harp. He's a gifted musician. What if we bring him in and he can play for you, and maybe that would help relieve what you're going through? And this is what happened. And then every time he would come in, God would relieve that spirit and Saul would feel better. And so Saul's like, you know what? You're not going home. You're going to stay right here with me because I need you here and now. And so from this time on, he wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed that pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, his sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. Now, if you're going through the reading with this, you're finding out that David is a commander. Like, he's gifted at battle, and he knows how to command his men, and he's seeing great success on the battlefield. This is one of the reasons why the people love him. They're finally, you know, beating back some of these people that were oppressing them. The officers love him because he knows what to do, and he's giving them great instruction, and they're having great success under David. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, this is what Pastor Mike talked about last week, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song: Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Now, if you haven't been reading with us, if you don't know this story, King Saul, he was an anointed king. God sent Samuel, which is what the book is named after. He's the prophet during this time. He sends Samuel to anoint David as king. David is an amazing, stunning, handsome man. Brad Pitt, think of that, okay? And he's anointed king, and he wins the heart of the people. But here's the problem. He wins their heart, but his heart's not right. And he actually turns on God, and he doesn't do what God wants. And so from that time on, God rejects him as king, and he sends Samuel to anoint David as king. And so David has been anointed the next king, but in this time, Saul is the sitting king, and he is struggling mightily because he is not right with God. David ends up killing the giant, and he's brought into the palace, and he's a part of this whole story. And in the midst of this, Jonathan, Saul's son, forms a pact with David, and they become like best friends. And it's amazing. You'll see this play out for the rest of the book of Samuel. They will fight together. They have a great relationship together. And both of these men are men among men. I mean, they go to battle together. They fight side by side. It is an incredible story of men. Now, men in this room, let me just tell you this. This story ought to ring true for you. This is what we lack in our culture today. Men are segregated. We isolate ourselves. We push out other men from our lives because we're told that if we can't do life, if we can't do everything by ourselves, then we're somehow less of a man. And that is not the way God designed us. And so as men in our culture, we really struggle because we push all the other men in our life away from us. And the kicker about it is in our heart, we desire to have another man in arms standing next to us. We have warrior spirits and we want other men there, but yet somehow in culture, we feel ashamed of that. Like we shouldn't ask for that. We shouldn't seek it. And so we isolate ourselves. And so the ladies in the room, you guys, you do better than we do. As men, we struggle, and we struggle mightily with this. And you guys know this, because if you've ever had another man in your life that you had this type of kinship with, it's something you think about regularly. Maybe it was in college. Maybe it was back in school when you were growing up. And if you don't have it today, you desire it, but you'll never say it. In this story, it should just like tear at you if you don't have this type of relationship in your life. What I want to do is I want to take a look at the relationship between David and Jonathan, and I want to compare it with the relationship that David has with Saul. Now, in that, keep in mind that all three of these are men of God. They're all appointed by God. They're part of God's people. And so in this, as we talk about some of the lessons that we can learn from these men, I want you to keep in mind that we're talking about in relationships, about relationships among other believers, other men and women of God. I want to compare the relationship between David and Saul and David and Jonathan in this. And then what I want to do is I want to share with you just why relationships are so important at MVF. And then I'm going to wrap everything up at the very end by hopefully teaching you a phrase by which you'll hopefully be able to view all of your in relationships through. It will be something hopefully that will set the tone and open up our minds to what God can do if we build relationships within his body. And so as we begin to compare these relationships, there's, I think, really four big themes that I see in this comparison between the relationship that David had with Jonathan and the one that he had with Saul. And the first one is this. See, I believe that intimacy in our relationships and our in relationships always depends on get versus give. Get versus give. And if you don't know what that means, let me just tell you. I think Saul was out to get something from David. Jonathan was in it to give something to David. And it changes everything in an end relationship. See, Saul was tormented with the spirit. And the first interaction that he has with David was to bring David in so that he could play, so that he would feel better. It was all about something that he could get from that relationship. Jonathan, on the other hand, had nothing to gain. It's an interesting story because David is a shepherd. Jonathan is a king's son. They didn't have to be friends. Nothing was in common between the two of them, but yet, for whatever reason, God joined their hearts together and they became best friends. They were warriors together. They were the best of friends. And these two men found each other because God ordained it. But see, I think one of the reasons why Jonathan takes such an interest in David is not because of something that he'd get out of him, but something that he saw in him. See, David was a man of God, and Jonathan saw that, I believe. Look at verse 14. It says, David continued to succeed in everything he did. Why? For the Lord was with him. I think standing on that battlefield that day that Hunter talked about 2 weeks ago, when David goes out before the giant, I think Saul saw something in David that he desired in his own life. This is a man of God. I want that. Do you have those types of friends? Those that are elevated, those that are in such pursuit of God and holiness that you're like, man, I want a part of that in my life. I want that as an example. I want to walk with that person. I want to learn from them. See, we need those types of relationships in our lives. That's what you can find within the church. You look around, you'll find men and women of God who are a step or maybe two steps ahead of you that you can learn from. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. See, I think Jonathan knew that David was a man of God. He knew it, and both men were better because the other one was in their life. They made each other better. They were in a relationship that mutually elevated both of them and caused both of them to draw closer to God. Your relationships, are they all about give or are they all about get? Especially those within the church. Do you keep people in your life because of what you can get out of them? Or are you pursuing them because you want to give them something? You want to be a part of what's going on in their life? See, I think it comes down to get versus give. Another lesson that I would pull out of this story is that godly relationships, I believe, are driven by love. They're just driven by love. And when anything else enters into that picture, if the relationship is centered around anything else, it's derailed. If you make it about other things, it's destined to fail. It's got to be about love. And we've talked about this so much over the last 2 months. Jesus coming and saying, look, you know how the world's going to know that you're my disciples in the way that you love one another. It's so critical in Jesus' teaching. And so often we forget that when it comes to the relationships that we build within the body of Christ. It's got to be centered on love. Look at verses 8 and 9. This made Saul very what? Angry. Very angry. What's this, he said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next they'll be making him their king. So from this time on, Saul kept a what? Jealous eye. Anything but love. Anger, jealousy, rage. And if you continue to read the story with us, you're going to find out that Saul will ultimately try to kill him many, many times. He'll send him off to battle, hoping that he'll die in battle. He'll give him unrealistic expectations in battle, and David will meet them. Why? Because God is in the middle of it. God's protecting David, but Saul's trying to get him killed, even to the point to where he'll actually try to kill him twice himself by throwing a spear at him in the palace. He's trying to shish kebab the dude, but God's protecting him. This relationship goes way off track because it's not centered on love. It's on anger and jealousy. Now, the last part of verse 3 tells us about Jonathan and why his relationship with David was so good. It says, he, Jonathan, loved him, talking about David, as he loved himself. Does that sound familiar? Has anyone heard that? Like, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Jonathan's approach to David was purely out of love. Love for David and who he was and who God had called him to be. David he's anointed king and he will become king, but he's not king yet. And Jonathan knows it. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Jonathan, as the son of the king, technically would make claim to that throne. But because he loves David and because he knows that God is ultimately in control, he never tries to take that. And he protects David. Like the one person you would think he wouldn't protect would be David, but he goes out of his way to protect him. Why? Because he loves him. Jesus told us in John 15, he said, there is no greater love than to lay your life down for a friend. Jonathan would give his life for David, and I believe David would have done the same for him. The foundation of in relationships must be love. Is that what defines your relationships with other believers? Is it love? Is it what you can get out of them? What you can give? Another lesson that we learn is in your relationships, especially within the body of Christ, focus is key. Focus is everything. So often we lose our focus and we put it on things that it shouldn't be. In your relationships with one another, with other believers, focus is everything. Where are your eyes? Because I can tell you one thing, Saul's eyes were never where they should be. We just read it. It says, from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on who? It wasn't God. See, I believe his focus had dropped. He dropped his eyes, and he put it on the man instead of God. And this is ultimately the reason why God rejected him as king, because he wouldn't keep his eyes on him. He was constantly looking at what he could get and how he built up his own name and protecting his own throne. But David would keep his eyes on God. Even with the battle with the Goliath, he wasn't fighting Goliath because it was Goliath. He was fighting Goliath because God's name was at stake. His focus was always on God. David and Jonathan, they put God first in their friendship. Their focus was always on what would bring glory to God. Where's your focus in your relationships? Are you serving and working alongside other people and keeping your eyes on Jesus and going, oh, whatever we can do to glorify his name, whatever we can do to build his kingdom? Or have your eyes dropped? Because focus is key. Another lesson that I'd point out, this, and this would be the last one I want to do this morning before we jump into how it relates to us, is that godly relationships are all about commitment, not convenience. See, for many of us, when we talk about friendship, it really comes down to convenience. Well, I'm good friends with my neighbor because he's got this really nice barbecue grill, right? Or I like this dude because he's got some motorcycles and he's got an extra one. It's not about convenience. It's about commitment. In this, we know that Jonathan made a pact, is what our translation says. Many of your translations say covenant. He made a covenant with David. He gave him his robe and he gave him his sword and his bow. It was like, everything that I could kill you with, I'm going to give it to you. Because I want you to know that I'm never going to turn on you. I will always have your back. I will always protect you. Even when the attack comes from my father, I will always protect you. Now, covenant is a word that we don't use very often anymore. It's kind of been lost in our culture. Now, the only time you hear covenant come up is actually when you go to a wedding, right? And two people are committing themselves, their lives to one another. And I think it's very appropriate in this text to say, no, Jonathan and David made a covenant that they would protect each other till the day they would die. That they would look out for the other's needs. They would put the other one first. That's what makes a great relationship. Now, if you don't have those types of relationships, I would say the quickest way to do that, to start to find those relationships and build those up, would be through life groups. To get involved in a life group and start to get to know some other people on a deeper level. And you'll find out very quickly that relationships, friendships, are not built on convenience, but commitment. We have a life group that meets on Wednesday nights, and I have to tell you, there are many times I come home, and I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to go to life group tonight. But I'll start thinking about the guys in my life group, and I'm like, I ain't missing that. It's not about convenience, it's about commitment, being committed to those types of relationships. Now, in relationships should be all about giving, not getting. Our in relationships with one another should be about love. It should always be centered on love, and it should be God-focused, always looking to bring glory and honor to God's name, not our own, and we need to be committed to that. Now, with all that being said, let me bring this home a little bit and tell you why this is so important here at Mountain View Fellowship. I told you earlier, we have this mandate of pointing people to Jesus by fostering a relationship. And part of this means that you and I are going to be very good at forming relationships with people. We got to get good at this. It's only through those relationships that we're able to introduce people to Jesus Christ, to tell them and to show them what it's like to be a Christ follower. And when you start to witness to somebody and you start to develop that, foster that relationship with them, and you lead them to Christ, in that moment, you get in the baptistry and you baptize them. And in that very moment, you enter into, get this, a lifelong covenant relationship of discipling them, of growing them up in Christ, of teaching them what it means to be more and more like Christ every day. And I want us to get this, because you're going to hear this a lot over the next few months, especially as we get into the fall, because here's the next step for us as Mountain View Fellowship. Baptized people, baptizing people. That's what it is. We kept looking at this and we kept going, okay, God, what do you want from us in this at Mountain View Fellowship? What does it look like for us? And as pastors, we've been in prayer and a lot of discussion about this. And we kept saying, well, if we were doing this right, if everybody was doing this, we would see a lot of people come to know who Jesus Christ is. And we said, but it's more than that. And the phrase that stuck with us was this idea of baptized people, baptizing people. Of doing what you see in the early Acts church, of people multiplying themselves. They would tell people about Jesus. They would be baptized. They would disciple them and bring them up. Here's what I think is one of the sicknesses in the American church today, is that if we went around and we took a poll today, my guess is the majority of us don't have anyone who's been discipling us. See, technically, this relationship is so critical. What we see in the life of David and Jonathan, it's so critical because you really need somebody who's there helping disciple you, and you need to be discipling somebody else. That's all done in relationship. That's not a class. That's in life. See, relationship, especially these in relationships that are built on love, that is a lifestyle for a Christ follower. We should be doing this. And we read in Scripture and we see it and we're just like, our heart yearns for that. We're not sure how to do it. And honestly, it's not that difficult. It's following what we just talked about. Learning to give and love and focus. Now, with all that, let me just tell you, we're going to talk more and more about this as we get going, okay? But we want you getting very serious about relationships. I want to give you a phrase. This is going to be kind of a lens that you can view your in relationships, the people that are sitting right around you right now, all right? So if you have true friends that are believers as well, this phrase hopefully will start to play out for you. See, I believe this phrase makes sense for people who believe Christ, who have come together, their hearts have been joined together. I would say it this way, that true friends are those who walk beside you in life. It's a lifelong covenant relationship. They're going to walk with you. They're going to be with you in the ups and downs. Doesn't matter what you're going through, they're going to walk with you in that. So they're here right now for whatever happens today, and then they're going to push you towards Jesus. True friends are those who walk beside you in life and push you toward Jesus. Everything that they can do to elevate you, to promote you to Christ, to make you more like Christ, to tackle you when you're going the wrong direction. That's a true friend. True friends are those who walk beside you in life and push you towards Jesus and, get this, and celebrate when you receive your reward in eternity. One of the things that we don't see in Scripture, but I'll tell you, I know this to be true because of the totality of Scripture, Jonathan and David are still best friends. Let that sink in, right? Like they're in eternity together. Do you realize that the people you're sitting next to, the ones that you have formed a friendship with that are of Christ, you will be friends in eternity? You'll be friends for eternity. It's not just for here. It goes on past this life. In relationships, those are the deepest relationships you can ever have. I've got a lot of men who are in my life who I'm great friends with who don't know Christ, and I have great conversations with those guys. But when I get together with some of my other buds that are believers, when we get together, our conversation goes to a whole different level. We challenge each other like I can't be challenged outside of the faith. We talk about spiritual things, things that really matter to us. I'm open about what's going on in my life with them to a whole different degree. When you have a spiritual connection with somebody, that adds something completely different to that relationship than a relationship that you would have outside of the body of Christ. You'll have deeper relationships in a church than you ever will outside. True friends are those who walk beside you in life, push you towards Jesus, and celebrate you when you receive your reward in eternity. Now get this. You have friends right now that you love dearly. Hopefully. if they're a believer, you guys will continue to have a deep relationship and build on that for years to come. And if they pass before you, just let this sink in for a minute. I want this to be a mental picture for you. The day you die and you appear before God, they'll be standing there ready to cheer for you when Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You won't find a deeper relationship than that. That's what Jonathan and David had. And that's what I desire for all of us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now as a group of people who are broken, we're flawed, we're messed up, we try so hard to follow you every day. Lord, today we just come to you, we ask that in this moment that you would place upon our heart where we're lacking in our friendship, especially those within the body of Christ. Lord, for those who don't have these types of relationships, those who have rejected it, I just pray that you would make that need known to them like never before. May their heart ache until they find that person that you've placed in their life. God, I pray that you would continue to foster these types of relationships, that in this, that it wouldn't be exclusive and shut the world out, but it would force us out to reach more people because we know how much it means to us and how much people are missing without it. God, we just give all this to you this morning. We ask that you would continue to use this to build up your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for joining us here at Mountain View Fellowship. We'd love the chance to meet you in person. We gather each Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 1955 Headlight Road in Strasburg, Colorado. If you aren't able to join us in person, we'll meet you right back here next week. God bless.